Japan Baseball Weekly Podcast for September 18th. It's brought to you by Shooters in Nagoya. I'm John Gibson, and pinch hitting for me this week is Michael Westbay. How you doing, Michael?
I'm doing pretty well, and you?
I'm hanging in there. Actually, you're not pinch hitting for me. You're pinch hitting for Jim Allen, but you're with me.
Uh-huh.
Thank you for being on the show. We appreciate it, buddy.
Always a pleasure, and how are your preparations for your marathon going?
The hamstring is hanging in there. The problem is the weather. It's still hot, and we need cooler temperatures to run longer distances because, as we spoke about before, I'm kind of the kind of runner who needs the conditions to be right. And
right.
I need my iPod working. I need the weather nice. No rain. Everything's got to be right for me to be able to pull things off, but we'll get there. I hope there's only 6 weeks left, so I hope we get there. We've got a great interview with Bobby Scales this week. He's with the Nippon Ham Fighters. We got a discussion about MVPs, which we promised to get to this time, and an outstanding hitting streak. In addition, we have a couple of listener questions, so the bags are full. Let's get going by clearing the bases. All right, one of the toughest things to do in the world, I think, is to go to a foreign country in mid-season and play a sport, especially like baseball.
Mm-hmm.
But Bobby Scales of the Nippon Ham Fighters has found success somehow, even if he's not as conventional as most players who, you know, enjoy success in Japan. But he's come here. He likes to stay true to himself and play the way he likes to play, and he's having enough success with the fighters as a fill-in guy.
Yep, that he is.
Now, I talked to him earlier this week, and I actually did a story, so this will be one of the first times where we play a full interview on a story that I've written already. So some people got a chance to look at the story. I'm sure you took a brief look at it. Now Bobby came in to fill in for Kensuke Tanaka, who went down with an ankle injury. I'm pretty sure it was broken.
Yes.
in June, and he kind of made a splash by hitting a couple grand slams in July. And you know, he was batting close to 280 when I did this story, right at 281, I think I heard it. And he really hasn't hit that much or that, you know, little since. So not that much has changed. Talk to me about players. What you think about players coming in the middle of the season? I mean, for me, I think it's really, really difficult.
Well, one of the things that he said in the interview is that he wants to keep doing things the way that he does them. And he didn't really sound like I want to adjust to the local culture, the local way of doing things. He didn't really sound like he liked small ball.
Yeah.
And that kind of grated on me, to tell you the truth. I like it when people come over here and try to get into the culture, accept at least a little bit the small ball, way of playing. And I think that Hillman Kontoku understood what was going on. Hillman Kontoku, when he was managing the fighters, he did a lot of small ball, but it was because he didn't have any big bat.
Right.
And that was a really good way of approaching it. If you don't have somebody there who's going to hit the home run all the time, then small ball is the way to go. Just get the couple of runs and have your pitchers hold the opposition. And of course, he had exquisite defense as well.
Yeah, it's a way to go. I mean, I don't mind the bunting. I mean, it does drive me nuts in some situations, but I don't mind
it.
But I would certainly like to see them take some chances once, you know, I don't mind being aggressive, and I like his approach about being aggressive,
and that's
fine.
That I really liked about the interview was when he talked about the team needing to be more aggressive and take that extra base. Of course, I watched the Yokohama Bay Stars, and when they get aggressive, they get out.
Yeah, well, let's do this. Let's play the interview and let the listeners give an ear, and then we'll talk about it afterwards.
Okay.
In the minors?
Oh, yeah. 08, 9, 10. So, yeah. Yeah.
Did he have any influence in you actually making this move over here?
Well, definitely. I mean, we've become friends, like, off the field, too. It's not just the on-field relationship. My wife and his wife are close. And so, you know, when it came up mid-season and it happened to be his team, it was, it made the decision a lot easier.
And then you played more than 1,000 games in the minors.
Yeah, yeah.
You've been pushing. You played in major some.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you come here and think, oh man, this is great, I should have come here earlier in my career?
Well, I didn't think that. The opportunity was presented when it was presented. You know, it's just that is what it is. So the opportunity came. My wife and I are in a good place, and so we took it.
Playing in a country like Japan, you'd heard about it before you came here.
Absolutely.
What'd you hear?
Well, you hear all kinds of stuff. Ballparks are small. Balls are this way, that way, whatever. They do stuff different. But you know, it's just like anything else. You can get people can tell you all you want to, but until you come and experience it, it's basically hearsay. Until you experience it for yourself and see it for your own eyes, it doesn't really mean anything. So I'm here now. I'm enjoying it. I'm on a good team. And just keep rolling.
What are some of the big adjustments that you had to make coming mid-season? I mean, most guys come and they have at least.
Right. Well, I just think the fact that I was moving from an apartment in Des Moines, Iowa, to an apartment in Sapporo, Japan. You know, I'm in a place where I can't read the language. You know, I'm an intelligent guy. I mean, I don't think that's arrogant or anything saying that. You know, I feel like I'm an intelligent guy. The good Lord blessed me with some intelligence and some athletic ability. And to walk around the streets and not be able to read anything is... It messes with your mind, you know. to be in a place and be functionally illiterate it's a different experience. So that's the biggest adjustment. You know, the baseball is very different. They very conservative brand of baseball over here. And honestly, for me, I'm an aggressive player, and that's been an adjustment. Taking extra bases. You don't see very much of that. You don't see very much risk taking. You know, on a questionable ball between two outfielders, guys just don't go. They just don't take the extra base more often than not. They opt to stay at first, whereas that's not how I was raised in the game. That's not how I had to play the game a certain way to be successful. You know, the good Lord blessed me with a certain amount of talent. But my biggest tool is my heart and my brain. And, you know, there's times where you can take acceptable risk and it's not a big deal, but here it's seen differently. But I can't change who I am. That's who I am. And, you know, there's going to be times where I take risks that, you know, they may not see as being the correct thing, but I got to play the way I know how to play. So, you know, I've been doing it since 1999. So it's my 13th professional season. You know, I've been playing this game, you know, since I was 7 years old. And there's just certain things that you just can't stop now at 33. So, that's who I am. That's what I'm going to do.
What about, you know, in terms of the pitchers that you have to face and all that stuff? Because I know you had some success.
Well, the biggest thing is just guys, they have different deliveries over here and different rhythms to things. And, you know, guys don't throw forkballs at home. You know, they just don't. For a lot of reasons. The main one being, you know, is that American pitchers, you're taught to get on top of the ball. And if you get on top of the ball, you throw a forkball. Every guy I know throws a split finger forkballs at Tommy John. So that's, for the most part, that's why guys don't throw them at home. Well, their deliveries are literally different. You don't see much downward angle here. You don't see many true sinker ballers over here. And it's because, you know, they take a very long stride off the mound and they kind of get behind the ball and they're throwing it, but there's more of a push where guys at home are taught to get on top of it and try to make it sink. Very different. So to come over here mid-season, not have any spring training or have any type of preparation for that has been an adjustment. So, I mean, stuff like that. There's a million things I could say, but those are some of the things that come to my mind.
Despite that, you had some grand success early on with those slams.
Yeah, I've done all right. You know, I mean, part of it, I think, you know, I haven't swung the bat the way I'm capable of lately, but I think part of that's just baseball. You're going to go into peaks and valleys during the season. I feel good. I feel like I'm coming out of it, and, you know, we'll just go from there. So.
Now, you've heard about the playoff system here. You guys are in second place.
Yeah, I've heard about it. Heard a lot about it.
What's your opinion about it?
I think it's kind of ridiculous, to be completely honest with you. You know, to have as much time between the regular season and the postseason as you do. You know, that's what they do, and it's what it is, and I'm here, so I guess I'm in it. But, you know, I get it with the rainouts and stuff, and they don't play doubleheaders, so you don't make them up as you go. But, you know, to win your league and then have almost a month off between winning your league and the first playoff game, I think is a little ridiculous. But again, it is what it is. You're here, so you keep rolling.
Trust me, covering, we have to wait around for
it. Yeah, I mean, it's just...
at least we have the second and third team playing that we can cover, but you
right.
still have to sit around.
Right, so, you know, as it stands, at the end of the day, we'd be in second place. And so we just keep rolling. You know, there's nothing you can do about stuff like that. It's like I said, I signed the contract. No one forced me to come over here. They asked me to come over here, and I accepted. So there's some stuff that you accept with that.
Now, how important is it for you guys to try to get the first place?
Well,
for,
the thing is, give me a puppy. I don't like, no matter what you're doing, you don't want to back your way into the playoffs. So I don't care what sport you're playing. You don't want to just kind of stumble and bumble into the playoffs. And truth be told, we haven't been playing very good baseball lately. So, it's important for us to just try to keep playing good baseball and try to get back in this thing and get a good role going into the playoffs.
Right now, I mean, we've been talking, you know, on the podcast too. Playing the third place team, if you guys finish third, it's a nasty matchup as far as going against the Eagles, where they have those two really good pitchers, and then you guys have to blow out your first pitcher and your second pitcher, and then go into the next series, starting with maybe your third or your fourth.
Playoff baseball, man. You know what I mean? That's what it is. You make the playoffs, you got good pitching and you have good defense, and you're gonna play some. And apparently, you swung the bat some too to win some games. I don't care who's pitching. I don't buy into that. I didn't buy into that at home. I don't buy into it. I have been and will never be intimidated by who's standing out there on the mound. You still got to throw over the plate. And I got confidence in myself that I'm going to hit it. That's how I'm wired. I don't give into this intimidation. He's a number one guy. He wears 18. I don't care about that. That means nothing to me. So, you know, I've had my success off all the guys who are quote unquote number one guys over here. So I'm not concerned with anybody. I wouldn't be concerned with anybody at home. I don't care if it's Cliff, Lee, CC. It don't matter. They still got to throw it over the plate, and I'm not going to be scared of anybody.
Now, what about defensively? I talked to the coach, and he's talking about he wants you to charge some balls more, a little bit more, and you playing on a lot more artificial turf fields over here. What have you had to adjust to?
Well, it's just honestly, the defense, personally, defensively, nothing really. The only thing that's kind of got me off guard is some of the defenses we play in the outfield, that no-score defense where they bring the right fielder and the left fielder very close. Basically, I turn around and he's in my hip pocket. That's extremely odd for me. Playing the infield in the first inning, I've never done that before in professional baseball. That's just different. I can have my disagreements with it. It is what it is.
New guy? Full interview.
No, sorry.
But if they tell me to do something, I'm going to do it. So, you know, it's what you do. I don't think the actual fielding of ground balls has been any different. It's a grounder all over the world. The one thing that has been different for me is when we played those countryside games on that black dirt, that stuff was different. But other than that, everything seems to be, I feel comfortable, so.
So you think you're going to be back next year?
We'll see. You know, I don't have a contract going into next year. I'm not really worried about that right now. You know, if it's meant to be, it'll be. And if not, then we'll see what we'll cross that bridge when it comes to it.
All right, buddy.
You got it.
Thank you.
All right, that was, for me, that was a fascinating interview on so many levels. But, I mean, what's your take on it in general now? I mean, you talked about the fact already that the aggressiveness is something that you liked.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the things you didn't like? I mean, you said it grated on you that he didn't want to change his attitude.
Yeah, that's just, it's just me. But then I've adopted to Japanese society, and I especially like it when others do too. So it's probably more like-minded mindset. He kind of had more, what is it? Tough guy, a really strong, outgoing person who hasn't really had much of a chance in the majors, career minor leaguer.
Yeah, 1,000 games, more than 1,000 games in the minors.
Yes, that kind of surprised me.
And I have to set that up, and I forgot to set that up, actually, if you don't mind me. My first question to him was actually about he and Micah Hoffpower, who's on the Nippon Ham Fighters. And Micah Hoffpower came over and started the season with the Nippon Ham Fighters. He came over and started the season with them and had a camp, and then it's his wife and Bobby Scales' wife who are friends and who have become friends because they played together in the minor leagues.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, his unchanging approach to play the game, and most guys want to fit in. Most guys refuse to, or they're willing at least to make some changes and make some adjustments in their game so that they can fit in and get going with the career in Japan. It doesn't really seem like he knows if he's going to be around next season or if he's thinking he wants to go back. But most of the guys I talked to, even Ryan Vogelsong, who's now with the San Francisco 49ers, with the Giants, and, you know, he came over and he struggled and, you know, he had his career, to describe it, at best was mediocre here, but he was willing to change and make adjustments and everything. And Bobby is just passionate and headstrong, you know, I'm not sure about it.
Hey, Nasir Kantoku's still throwing him out there and he's doing well, so, in that respect, more power to him. I think that he's doing a great job. And a lot of times, I think that the reason that it's so important to adjust to Japan is because of the manager. If the manager does not see you trying to do things more of a Japanese style, they'll bench you a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that that's where a lot of the headstrong guys get into trouble. Whereas I think that he really owes a debt of gratitude to Nasir Kantoku for accepting him for the way he is and still putting him out there. He's putting up the numbers, and so long as he's still producing, a manager would be foolish not to. But there are a lot of foolish managers here in Japan who would not put up with that kind of attitude, I think.
Well, that's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up. That's something that I didn't think about. And, I mean, the managers, they want to win, okay? So, the first thing is, let's figure out how to win the game. And if you're going to win, you want to do it with your best players. And it didn't occur to me that he, you know, needed somebody to actually believe in him and let him be aggressive. Well, it did occur to me, but again, they didn't really have anybody else. I mean, the kid, Sugiya, I guess is his name is, did well when they put him out there, but he's basically just a speedy guy. Bobby's been able to hit with some power and drive in some runs for them, and they really need that.
They really needed that.
Yeah, and too bad they didn't get much of that over the weekend when they went winless in Fukuoka.
Yeah.
And they didn't get swept. Well, they got swept
Darvish
technically.
Gave up that one run in the ninth.
Yeah.
They ended in a tie.
That's just unfortunate. But, yeah, I mean, you have to have somebody who believes in you and who's going to allow you to go out there and play your game. And he's fortunate in that respect. But I tell you, I really love his fresh view of Japan because I forgot when you came here, but I came in 1990 and things aren't strange to me now like they are.
Uh-huh.
And plus it has been so much that has changed since we've been here that we've just rolled with the punches. Whereas if you're just getting off the boat per se,
yeah, so when you got here, it was, what, two gaijin per team?
Yeah, but I mean, I didn't even, that first year, I got here in October, it was the end of the season, I didn't even watch until the next season, and I didn't understand a word of Japanese, although I was watching baseball, so I didn't know, I didn't really keep track of how many foreign guys were out there. I know I didn't see that many, but I think there were two per team, yeah.
Yes.
And the pitchers would come over and not do very well, and so they just went with power pig guys who could basically slug home runs. So a guy like Bobby Scales is something new. I mean, teams before have never really concentrated on a guy who's just going to play a middle infield position, who they want to play defense, who can also, you know, maybe occasionally give him some power.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, they can get that from a Japanese player. They want somebody to bash the ball. You know?
That's a good point, too, I think.
Right. So, now the one thing, though, about Bobby is I talked to, what they call it, he's the infield coach. And, it's Mr. Yasunaga. And I talked to him and he said the one thing they wanted to work with, Scales on was his fielding of, when they wanted him to charge ground balls a little bit more, and they said, you know, he's used to playing on grass, and now he's playing on the artificial turf a lot more, and some, especially at Pacific League parks. And they wanted him to charge, to charge the ball more. And I thought it was interesting when I asked him about, you know, that he kind of just brushed it aside, and you know, he said, look, ground balls are the same all over the world, and I'm like, well, according to the coach, they're not. But I don't know, you know, there are a lot of mid-season, in fact, there are a lot of mid-season pickups this year, and I think Bobby's doing the best out of all of them. I listed some, and Josh Fields for the Giants just hit his first home run today, and I think he was picked up on July 2nd, and then you got Luis Garcia.
I was surprised he lasted as long as he did.
Well, you know, he's been up and down. I mean, you know, they sent him down to the farm, and they brought him up, and You know,
what was it? He swung at a three-ball no-strike pitch and popped it up for the final out of the inning with the bases loaded. And I was sure Hato Kantoku was going to send him to the farm after that.
When was that?
2 days ago.
2 days ago, okay.
2 nights ago. The Giants were, a run down. It was late in the game. They had bases loaded, and he swung and popped up a three-ball no-strike pitch.
Well, you know what? I would think. Now, I mean, call me
and
naive.
I know there's you can think, okay, the pitcher has to come in now, but it was a ball.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't even a good pitch. So.
It wasn't a good pitch. So you know, I mean, call me naive, but I would have to say the green light is coming from the bench.
Yeah. And Hato Kantoku did say to the press that he did not send out the takes sign.
Okay, he didn't say no.
Right, he didn't say no.
Exactly.
So maybe that's why he's still there.
Yeah, that's probably why. I mean, you know, if he said no and the kid's swinging and he's swinging at a pitch out of the zone, then you know he's going to catch fire. But you know, that's all. If you didn't get the stop sign, then you're entering at your own risk, I suppose.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Bobby seems to be doing the best out of all these midseason pickups. I mean, Brian Barden with the Hiroshima Carp has played regularly. He hasn't been a power guy. He hasn't really been producing all that much. Jose Castillo is probably, I would rank him second after the midseason pickups for the Lotte Marines. He's been doing
well. I liked him at Yokohama last year. I didn't know why Yokohama didn't bring him back.
Well,
then
because he doesn't really have
Watanabe
a glove.
Second. Yeah, I have really liked Watanabe at second base.
I've liked him too, and I liked him, you know, I think he played a lot of short last year for the Eagles before they, yeah.
Was it the Eagles? Okay.
It was Eagles. And, and I didn't like him there, but, you know, looking at what Kazuo Matsui's done for the Eagles at short, I really like Watanabe at short, but anyway. But
I really
like a serviceable player. He's a serviceable player at second base.
And now he's playing first, and I think that he's doing even better at first.
Yeah, well, I haven't really seen him actually play. I'm sorry, Michael, I don't always get to watch the Yokohama games, although I tried. I try to watch some of them and part of them, and you know, even when I'm on those days when I'm out at a game, I'll try to tape one game and try to go through it when I get back before I start the blog. And, but it hasn't been Yokohama games that much, and I always apologize for bashing your team, man. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
But they're very bashable. I mean, they're like the pitch right down
are.
The middle. I mean, you got to swing.
I've been watching them every day, so yeah, I understand how bashable they are.
Who else do you like in terms of the mid season pickups? Who else have you?
You know, I don't even recognize some of these names.
Which one? I guess Freddie.
Edison Barrios.
Now he was an instructional squad guy, and the SoftBank Hawks brought him up.
When they
hit a rash of injuries, but he hasn't. I don't really think he's performed on the first team, so I think he's still. They brought him up from instructional squad, and they probably have him on the farm. And Yancy Brazaban, I think he pitched a couple days ago or yesterday, maybe on Saturday.
Yeah, I've only seen his name a couple of times in the newspaper, but nothing terribly outstanding.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really difficult. I think, especially in Japan, when everything is, you know, baseball players are like, to me, they're like cats, you know? If everything's not perfect, they won't eat and they won't sleep and, you know, and these guys, they won't hit. You know,
I have to feed my cat with a spoon sometimes.
So, you come over midseason and you're like, what? You know, we got to do calisthenics before the game? What's that? And, you know, or what? You have two cages out there to hit in batting practice? What is that? You know? And, you just start, I mean, there's a lot more things that go on.
It's
just what the press is privy to when we are standing on
the field. I think that having spring training does help a lot of the guys get into what's going to happen once the season starts, and not having that spring training is a bit of an issue, I think, or can be a bit of an issue, with getting adjusted really quickly.
It definitely slows a guy down, and because you know, the mental preparation and getting ready and watching video and all that stuff is just part of baseball, but the things you have to do in Japan and the things you have to overcome, like the language barrier, you always need an interpreter to come over and help you talk to a coach, or you know, mm-hmm. help the coach talk to you. There's off the field issues, family issues. There's so much to deal with, and you know, like I said, they're like cats. You know, anything out of balance, and you know, it's just not going to produce. It's just not good. So yeah, I'm really impressed with him that he's been able to come over mid-season, you know, play a infield position, a middle infield position, hit the way he's been able to hit, and still, you know, keep that attitude of that headstrong attitude that I'm going to be aggressive and I'm going to take chances, and you know, if that's the way it's going to be, and if they don't like it, they can sit me down or they can, you know, they can tell me mm-hmm. something, but you know, instinct's going to take over. I kind of like it, and
it's working for him.
And
keep it up.
It's working for him, yeah. So good luck, Bobby. Thanks for talking to us. We appreciate it. So let's move on to discuss possible MVPs. Now, this was a topic that we even mentioned in the show last week, and we ran out of time because somebody yep. talks too much. Now, I'm not going to say it's Jim Allen because he's not here, but, you know, it wasn't me. No, I'm kidding, Jim. Now, we just went on and on and on, yeah, that happens sometimes. That happens. We get into it really good. I wish we could do, you know, a show every day. I think we could, because I'd like to talk about the games more.
Yeah, do a recap of the game of day's games. That would be a good show.
You know, 20 minutes a day, I think we can get away with it. But we don't, and I like to keep the show, you know, about an hour. So if we can, you know.
I think we're going over that tonight.
I don't think so. We're on track. We're on track here.
Okay.
So top candidates for Central League MVP. Now, it's my contention that there are none. Although, right when I did this, and we were going to talk about this last week, and it would have been perfect because the guy who's probably the front runner had a really good week.
Yes.
And he was mentioned in a number of newspapers with his little picture up in there and saying, Civil MVP candidate, front runner. And I'm like, no, we were supposed to talk about that last week. and that's the Yakult Swallows first baseman, part-time outfielder, mostly
and,
slug.
And 11th year player, isn't he?
I'm sorry?
And 11th year player, isn't
he? Yeah, he's not a young guy. He's not a young guy. He's not, well, I mean, there are reasons that I don't want, I'm reluctant about making him or even talking about him in terms of MVP. And that's because I think he's a slug. I mean, you know, he's very one-dimensional. And that bothers me when you're talking about a guy who, you know, basically is supposed to be the guy who's carrying your team.
But, you know, Kazuhiro Hatakeyama has been carrying the Swallows.
That's the problem.
And the Swallows are the front-running team in the Central League.
That's the other problem.
And so it's, there just really isn't any other strong candidate.
That's true. However, my argument before was going to be that, yeah, he's, you know, he doesn't have MVP numbers. Okay. He's not hitting a bunch of home runs. He's not hitting close to 300, which he got closer this week because he had a really good week. Mm-hmm. And he's not a very good defensive player. They figure out they probably, I don't know what Ogawa does every day, but he's probably just trying to figure out, where can I hide this guy? You know, I don't want to put him at first. People are going to bunt and make him chug and go and get the ball. I don't want to put him in left because somebody will hit the ball out there. So
you need a DH in the Central League is what you're saying.
Well, I have another idea, but Jim Allen doesn't agree. But my idea is to change him into a catcher now while you still have the time.
Because
he's a catcher. He's essentially a catcher in a first baseman's body who gets thrown out to play left field sometimes. I mean, he's a mess. But he is the leading candidate. And the thing about it is he's got a lot of big hits this season.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm not a stat head, so I didn't go through all the numbers. I just looked at the basic numbers, and he's doing okay in those. But the other thing that he's doing is, he's getting a lot of mention on my blog. All I did was went through, you know, I have everything on Word files, and I went through and I counted. And there are so many times where he came up with, you know, the tie-breaking hit or a late hit in the game.
He's been the key hitter on the Swallows this year. He's been the reason they've won or tied a lot of games.
Yeah, he is. He is. He's the front runner. Because if you look around the league after him, I mean, let's say, and I think the Dragons have a bunch of wins, like 57 or something, really close to the top. But if you look at the other teams, there's nobody on those other teams. There's not mm-hmm. one guy. Chono is probably the best best other candidate.
I would say that Chono is another candidate.
Oh, definitely.
The guy is unstoppable, at least against the Yokohama Bay Stars.
Well, I know you pay attention. He's unstoppable against everybody, and he's just as annoying as to your team as our team.
You know, the only other guy that was annoying as him was Akahoshi.
Akahoshi with Anshin Tigers.
Little Goki Buddy running around the bases. Keeps going.
Don't walk him. You know, and this is the thing, you know, and these guys, I mean, they're professionals, they know.
Yes.
They you know, Ted Oichi was playing for the Giants today, and then you got Fujimura who's playing for them, and they lead these guys off, and they say, you know, everybody knows you don't want to walk guys like that ahead of the heavy hitters when they're coming up. So you throw them fastballs. Well, you know, they work on those guys and have them ready for fastballs, and they got really good eyes. So they're taking walks, or they're, you know, not swinging at pitches out of the zone, and then you say, look, I'm tired of messing with this guy, I'm just going to throw him a fastball, and then whack, they line it up the middle, and there they are in first base, and now they're creating all kinds of havoc out there on the bases, zipping around, and yeah, you just want to stomp them and squish them in the ground. Just those little bugs. But, yeah, I mean, Chono is another guy who probably could be a candidate if the
Giants do go through and manage to win, to make it to the playoffs and win, I would have to say that Chono would probably be selected.
Well, you know what? I would, too, and he might be
because
the first.
So many of the riders choose whoever finishes first.
Well, the thing is I don't think they're going to finish in first, but yes, the Riders tend to only take an MVP from the first place team, which I disagree with, and I wrote about it last year, as much as it pained me to say, I thought Alex Ramirez had the best season and should have been the MVP, but they had to name somebody from the first place team, and they chose Kazuhiro Wada from the Dragons.
Wada. Yeah.
And, you know, I was fine with it. And Jim, you know, later on, Jim Allen says, they got the right choice. And I'm like, you know, it was so close. Who really cares? But I think you take Ramirez out of that lineup and it's a lot different. You take Wada out of the lineup. And I think they were going to, you know, they'd slide some guys around and they were going to basically do the same thing. It's just that he hit some power there. But this might be, you know, the first year that the writers decide, well, you know what, the Giants got close enough, let's choose a Giant. I mean, you know, mm-hmm. I can easily see them doing that as well.
Yeah, I can see that too.
But I hope not. But, you know, there's nobody on the Dragons, there's nobody on the Tigers, maybe Arai, because he's a popular figure, simply because at the start of the season when the MPB wanted to force feed us the season on time. he was one of the guys who said, no, we're going to, you know, we want the season to start at April 12th. And he, you know, stuck his foot, drew a line in the sand, dug in. And I think the fans respect him for that. And that still might make his popularity. And he's had a decent season. He's not great, but he hasn't been awful.
Yeah. He wasn't close to last year's season.
Right.
I don't think so.
So, all right. Well, I mean, otherwise, you know, there's nobody else on the Swallows I could think of except, you know, Miyamoto, just because of his leadership skills, but, you know, not numbers wise.
He's got a second win this year.
He's doing great. What is he? 41. I when I talked to him last time, I said, hey, dude, you know, we're in the same age range, so I'm rooting for you. I'm always rooting for you, dude. And he's like, oh, great. You know. So now, what about the Pacific League? What's your pick there?
Okawari-kun.
Really?
Hands down. Even though the Lions are close to last, he's the one who has shown everybody that we can hit this ball. I would say that for the Pacific League overall, he is the one who has really taken the ball literally and knocked it out.
Yep.
And he's shown that it can be done. And I think that after the All-Star break, a lot of the other Pacific League batters are starting to see that and come around and are starting to hit. And it was really Okawadi-kun who has been inspiring everybody to rethink their batting and to say, yes, it can be done. We can do it. And everybody else is starting to hit home runs.
That's interesting. I mean, I put him, you know, I put Takeya Nakamura of the Cebu Lions, I put his name down, and I put the question marks, and I put the 40 home runs, and I said, yeah, it makes him a real attractive figure and somebody we can look at, but the team wasn't doing as well when, you know, when we were supposed to talk about this last week.
They were just getting out of last, I think.
Right, but this week they had a decent week. I did the numbers just a little while ago. They're 11-3, I think, in the month. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, they're making a little run. They're probably going to be in fourth place by the time people are listening to this podcast, because we're playing games on Monday. You know, he's an attractive figure. I just can't see, if they don't make the playoffs, I just can't see it, because his batting average still isn't high enough for me. But he's up there in RBIs with the league leaders. Mm-hmm. He's obviously bashing the ball like, you know, there's no tomorrow. He looks like an attractive figure. It's possible, but the guy I think who the voters are going to vote for, now this is not me, because I probably mm-hmm. wouldn't choose him. But the guy I think the voters are going to vote for when there's no position players out there who are really doing outstanding, and you got one team that's dominating with a bunch of guys who are having good seasons, but nobody's having a breakout or an outstanding season,
mm-hmm.
I think is their number one starter, Tsuyoshi Wada.
Wada, yep.
And I probably have to vote for him before I vote for anyone else, because I think everybody else is going to vote for him, and I don't want to waste my vote.
No, that's not how you're supposed to vote.
I know, but you know what? You know, I look at that team, and I know they're so far in front. They've been so dominating the whole season. It's disgusting. But Hiroki Kokubo got injured. And this is the second time he's missing games.
Yeah.
And Seiichi Uchikawa still is not. I think he's not qualified still yet for a batting title. Or he's yeah, close. He probably will get there if he stays healthy. But he's missed. Missed a bunch of games. And plus, when he was out, they didn't miss him. So that helped valuable.
No, even when he was with Yokohama, he missed a lot of time. The last few years, they moved him from second to first and also to right field, and he's stayed fairly healthy. But when he was...
Oh, we're losing you.
Hello?
Hello, we're losing you. Okay, one more time. When he stayed healthy, go ahead from there.
When Uchikawa stayed healthy, that was when he was not playing at second base. When he was playing at second base, he often had a lot of lower back problems and would miss season after season, well, at least a bulk of each season.
Right. He and Tamura, they were splitting time in the trainer's room, paying rent, I would imagine.
Yeah, both of them. And now they're both at SoftBank.
Yeah, doing the same thing.
He got his batting title when he was playing first base full time. They moved him to right field the year after, and he still hit well, but not quite at the same level. So, and the Hawks have him out in right field.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that he really needs to give his lower back some more rest, and I think that he gets that more when he's at first base than especially at second base and to a degree out in the outfield.
We're losing you again, but yeah, you know, DH is a great position for him, but you know what?
I don't want him as DH. I still want him in the game.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, resting. I don't know if sitting down or standing up and leaning over and getting balls at first base is better. I don't know.
It seemed to do wonders for him. He was healthy that whole year. And that was the key to winning a batting title for him.
Yeah. Well, you know, there are other guys out there now on his team. He's going to have to deal with, Nobuhiro Matsuda, who's having a really good season. But he's a guy who's batted seventh and sixth and maybe fifth and maybe a couple spots. I don't know. I haven't looked at the numbers.
Didn't you argue that he should have won the Interleague MVP?
Yes, I did, but that's May. You know, May does not...
So what's he done since then, huh?
He's still been consistent. He just hasn't been... I mean, you know, for me, there hasn't been a guy who's really standout. And even WADA, he hasn't been really standout. And I can't find the sheet, but I went through and looked at all his starts, and I think he hasn't given up more than 4 runs in any start. The one thing he is he's really steady.
Right.
And that's basically what you need. But he's not a shutdown guy, and... I think the other thing is, because he's got a lot of strikeouts and he's got a lot of things going for him, but I don't think the writers in Japan, the people who are going to be voting for MVP, I don't think sabermetrics, or the word sabermetrics is a part of the Japanese lexicon here. Uh-huh. And so
every Tuesday Nikon Sports.
Well, I'm glad they do, and I hope more of them do, but I don't think it's a regular thing that people are going through. Well, let's look at, you know, all these numbers and see if we can decide who's going to be or who's had the most impact. Mm-hmm. I think they just look at wins. They look at strike. I mean, they look at the obvious numbers, and they say, let's go with that, ERA, and things they can count easily.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a guy like WADA, he's only allowed 3 runs or 3 earned runs.
Right.
What is it? I'm sorry, 1 or fewer earned runs, 13 times in 22 starts. But he only has 1 shutout, you know. So they're not going to look at, you know, basically how many strikeouts he has. They're going to look at his record, and they're going to say, you know, the guy doesn't give up a lot of runs, and he's steady, and he's the reason whenever, you know, they'll look at how many times the team lost, and he, which is going to be very few, but he went out and won the game after they lost and things like that. I don't know.
Well, one thing I find interesting here is that you're starting to talk about WADA as MVP, but last week, or was it the week before, you were talking about Makun and Darvish as potential Sawamura Award winners.
Right. I mean, you know, I think it's a different thing. I mean, you know, and especially when you have to meet the benchmarks, the 7 benchmarks for Sawamura Award. And I don't think, you know, WADA is not even close. Okay, he's not even in the discussion.
Right.
But he could be an MVP because, again, I think the voters look at him as somebody who's steady. And you're looking at a team that's not really filled with outstanding performances.
Mm-hmm. Also the first place team.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the lack of an outstanding performer and the things that WADA is doing for that team, when you weigh those, I think it's an outstanding performance for that team when you weigh that against what everybody else is doing. Uh-huh. I don't think it's Sawamura Award worthy.
Right.
I mean, they're 2 different things in my mind. I don't know.
Okay.
Maybe I sound like...
That's a good explanation. No, that's really a good explanation. I can understand that.
Okay. All right. Well, Kawari-kun, yeah, that would be interesting. I wouldn't mind. I like the guy, and he, you know, people, it's not only chicks who dig the long ball. Everybody digs the long ball. So, he gets to 50, you know, talk to me.
Okay.
Call me when he gets to 50 and we'll discuss it. All right, moving right along. I want to talk about Ortiz Buffalo's, an incredible 26-game hitting streak that was snapped on Friday by Mitsutaka Goto.
Yep.
A guy, you know, not an Ichiro type of batter, not a guy you would associate really with a 26-game hitting streak. And again, somehow my notes got lost. I made copious notes, people, and they ran off. That's why you should do everything on computer, right?
Right, exactly.
I knew you were going to say that. I'm a Macintosh, right?
Naturally.
He's got a
279 career batting average as of the end of play last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's been up and down. He's been hitting 255 in 2007 and 295 in 2010. So he's got kind of a wide range. The last few years, I would kind of call him what we stat heads would refer to as a true 280 hitter or so.
As opposed to a fake
280 hitter.
Okay.
Okay, well, you know, what does a it mean to be a 280 hitter? Basically, that in the long run, he'll get a hit about 28% of his at-bat. But there may be sequences where he doesn't hit quite to that level, such as going 83 for his first 317 at-bats of the season for a 262 average.
That was this year?
Coincidentally, is what he did for his first 83 games this year.
Okay.
Then, hey, maybe he'll go 42 for 108 over a 26-game period and get a hit in every one of those games. And he did just that. So that was a 389 pace, way over 280. He had a streak where he was way under 280. He had a streak where he was way over. And also, I've got a question for you.
Yes.
If Goto is a true 280 hitter and he gets four at-bats in a game, what is the chance that he'll go one for four?
I have no idea. You didn't tell me there was going to be a test. No one told me there was going to be a test.
Okay, well, based on 281 games where Goto had four at-bats, this is over the last several seasons, he had one hit 44% of the time.
One hit 44% of the time. That was going to be my answer.
So if he has four at-bats in a game, he's got a 44% chance of getting one hit. Now, he only got no hits 28% of the time. So that's 72% of his, or 72%. So when he had four at-bats, he had a 72% chance of hitting one hit or more.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So that he gets one hit when he has four at-bats, more likely than not, that's going to happen. Almost three times out of four.
Three times out of four. Okay. So, I mean, the thing that I was looking at was that it was just an incredible hitting streak for a guy who's not a great, you know, he's not a great hitter. He's a good hitter. But, I mean, in the major leagues, we had two hitting streaks, one by Dan Uggla, the Atlanta Braves this year, at 33 games, mm-hmm. and another by Andre Ethier of the Los Angeles Dodgers at 30 games. And, you know, probably about 20 games in, you know, people started to pay attention.
Right.
But this thing didn't get very much fanfare at all. Even when it died out at 26, you know, not mm-hmm. many people were talking about it. And
well, he's with the Orioles.
Well, I don't care. So was Ichiro.
true.
But he made Oryx, you know, newsworthy, you know, leading the news, the sports news at night. So this mm-hmm. was only, I mean, the longest hitting streak in Japan is 33 games.
Yep.
And what is this? Yoshihiko Takahashi of the Hiroshima Cardinals in 1979. And, you know, this guy got pretty close. I mean, he wasn't that far away. He was seven games off. And I was uh-huh. waiting for, you know, the TV people to start getting into, hey, we got this great hitting streak and starting to put pressure on him. And it seemed like the press, obviously, the people with the beat writers were asking him about it every day.
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't hear much about it. And then, you know, it's died out. It's the fifth longest hitting streak in Pacific League history. And
not six.
I got fifth.
I have five people in front of him. Oh, it might be the fifth longest.
Yeah, fifth longest in
Pacific. I only have the top five, which only goes to 30.
Okay. And, and the guy who broke his streak is Hiroki Ueno of the Lotte Marines, and he's not that great a pitcher. In fact, he lost the game that night.
Yeah, that's a good point, but do you know who the pitcher was who stopped Ichiro's, 33 game, or 60 some game, I have it written down here somewhere. Ichiro had a streak where he did not strike out in a whole bunch of at-bats or plate appearances.
Plate appearances, okay. And do I know...
And do you know who the pitcher was that struck him out?
It has to be a Pacific League guy.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to guess Johnny Kuroki.
Nope.
Then I got no idea.
He was one of the favorites to do it. Actually, Irabu was one of the favorites to bring that streak to a halt. But it was this young guy who nobody had ever heard of called Shimoyanagi.
Oh, young guy.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen him when he was young. In fact, I think he was born with a beard.
Nobody knew Shimoyanagi with Nippon Ham Fighters back then. But his big claim to fame is he struck out Ichiro after so many hundred plate appearances without striking out.
Well, that'll be your homework to look up in the
and so even though this guy may not have been the winning pitcher or may not have won the game even, it's these little guys that you've never heard of who do these things.
Yeah, it just goes
to
show you. Yeah, it's so fleeting. These things are fleeting. I mean, you can, I think I said it on the program before, you can hit the ball hard four times and come away without a hit one night, and you can tap the ball the right place three times and come away with three hits, on any given night. So it's that kind of stuff. So, all right, well, congratulations to Mr. Goto, and we wish him luck. And, Oryx has been hot, and they won again today. It looks like they're headed for that third-place slot, as the Eagles seem to be losing.
Yeah, they really come alive in September.
And they're really playing with some confidence. Even when they get down in games, they're coming back. So good luck to them.
Hi.
Let's move along to fielding questions. All right, this is a holdover question from last week, and it was Clement in Marseille, France, who asked us, if today you had to choose the roster for the next WBC, who would you bring? He says, thanks for the show. Geez. You go first. I got, who would I bring? Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm kind of the opinion that I don't really care for the WBC.
Yeah.
I think it's a distraction at the beginning of the season, and it hurt Murata all year last year.
All right, so you're just worried about your team. Okay.
So I got Jim Allen to send me his team.
All right.
Jim Allen, starting with catcher, says he'd like Abe and Tsudooka. Abe from the Giants, Tsudooka from the Fighters.
Yeah, I got Tomoya Satozaki from the from Lotte, but I got Abe too.
Yeah, I would prefer Yamazaki as well. I just like Yamazaki.
Yeah, he's coming on. He's doing well. Okay,
but
what about first base?
So much. First base, Jim Allen says Kurihara, Arai, and Ogasawara. Of course, Ogasawara will have to prove that he can actually hit before then.
Yeah, I think they need a left-handed bat, a power bat, so I would bring him as well as Kurihara. Yeah, I'm there. And then for me, at second base, I would bring Hirano from the Hanshi Tigers and Honda from the Hawks, and call it a day.
Okay. Jim says Kensuke Tanaka, Honda, and Iguchi.
Okay. Yeah, I think Iguchi probably in 2013 would probably be on the shelf somewhere for me. On third base...
Rumor is that he's getting ready to, or Lotte is getting ready a 3-year contract for him.
Yeah, well, part of the balance 2 years might be as coach. third base, I'm going to bring Okawari-kun, and I'm going to bring Miyamoto because he's that kind of guy. You need him. You need a veteran out there.
Yeah.
I would probably bring Murata as well. Another
bunch of names.
Yeah.
Koyano, Nakamura, Imae, Matsuda, Murata.
Okay, that's enough, Jim.
Yes, Jim kind of went overboard at third base, it looks like.
Shortstop, I got Sakamoto of the Giants and Nakajima of the Lions.
Okay, Jim has Nakajima there and several others. Kawasaki, Nishioka, who would be in the majors somewhere.
Making errors, but yeah. All right,
in
the outfield, I got Ichiro, of course, and then I got Uchikawa. I've got Itoi, Yoshio Itoi from the Fighters. Sakaguchi Chono.
Okay. Jim Allen adds Hideki Matsui. not sure he'll still be around in 2013. Itoi, Kurihara, Aoki, Ichiro, Uchikawa.
All right. One more. I got DH is Sho Nakata. I got DHing.
Okay.
I don't know if he had one of those. But some of those guys we brought, he's got on his list at DH. So.
I think that several of them could be DHs there.
All right, pitchers, Yu Darvish, of course, Mao-kun, Tanaka. I'd take Tsuyoshi Wada because you need a good left-hander, and I'd take Utsumi as another left-handed starter, and then Tateyama.
Okay, you're in good company with Jim, although Jim didn't choose Wada, it looks like. That's interesting. He added Fujikawa. Oh, he did relievers, too.
I got relievers coming up, yeah.
You got relievers separate. Okay. Darvish, Kuroda, Sugiuchi, Utsumi, Naruse, and Tanaka.
Yeah, that's good. I didn't put Naruse on. I didn't put Kuroda on. But those guys are just as good as any of the other right-handers.
Yeah, and Kuroda has MLB experience.
Yeah, so he knows the hitters.
He is doing well.
And he is pitching very well, yeah. Relief, I have Asao. From the Dragons, the setup guy, Fujikawa. I've got Morifuku from the Hawks because you need a good lefty guy to, middle relief. And I bring Yamaguchi as well from the Giants for another left-handed guy to come in and get a tough left-handed batter out.
Okay. Jim has Maruha, Iwase, Fujikawa, and Takeda.
Mahara. No. What's his name? The Hawks closer?
Mahara is the Hawks closer, yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You can't go too wrong.
He's going with closers.
Yeah, he's going with all closers. But I think we saw what happens when you bring guys like Iwase in when it's not a safe situation in an Olympic situation. That was bad news. That was bad
yes,
scene.
That was.
There's still blood on the field there, I think. Where. All right, Clement, thanks for the question, and we appreciate it. Please write in again. Now, we have another question from Anthony Pang of Australia, and he asks, why is it that Mai Ken, that's his nickname, but his name is Kenta Maeda, he's a pitcher with the Hiroshima Car, why is it that he hasn't been as effective this season? I haven't seen him pitch live. I just saw, I've seen him on TV a little bit. And so what I did was I called one of the scouts who's a friend of mine and asked him what he knew. And he said, he's lost a little bit of velocity and he's lost a little bit of movement on some of his pitches. But we can attribute most of that to fatigue because once a guy like Maeda comes out with a breakout season like he did last year, he's worked more than he's used to. And that wears him down. And he's just now, you know, catching his second win here in the second half, and that's why he's been able to pitch more effectively in the second half. And
I thought he pitched really well a couple days ago.
Yeah, he has been pitching really well since just before the All-Star break. He's been back to himself. And the other thing that I thought immediately when I saw the question was, well, you know, the league has made adjustments on him, and they've watched all the video, and they know what his favorite things are to do, and how he likes to get certain hitters out, and certain types of hitters out, and how he likes to make them fish for pitches, and so they just lay off of him. And so now he's got to throw different pitches, he's got to come over the plate a little bit more, and when you come closer to the plate, bats find, you know, batters find contact, and they make contact. So that's part of it. Now, Anthony also asked why. Oh, go ahead.
My own theory was, if you go back to the beginning of the season when they first introduced the new ball, it was the pitchers who were making the most complaints about the new ball. It's a little bit bigger. It's a little bit heavier. It doesn't have the same feel.
Yes, and I remember they actually started playing games.
Before they actually started doing well with it and finding that they could do lots more with it. I think that Maeda may have just taken a little bit longer to adjust to the larger size ball. I don't have the eye of a scout, but I do remember a lot of pitchers whining at the beginning of the season, and I think that may have contributed somewhat to it.
Okay. All right. There's one note that foreign players, I was told, because I made a comment on last week's show, that foreign players can be eligible for Rookie of the Year, but the teams have to file a request for that to happen with NPB, which has to approve or reject it. So that
That's
was
right. I wanted to write you in and tell you that.
Yes. And then also
when you said that.
Yes.
Because at one of the first owners' meetings this year, they discussed that. And they said that, yes, foreigners who do not have a lot of major league service can be eligible for Rookie of the Year.
Okay. And also in last week's podcast recording, we talked about the Oryx catcher, Hikaru Ito. He also got injured and is likely out for the rest of the month, but he could be back for the start of the playoffs, so we wish him the best. There's been a rash of injuries, so we hope everybody tries to, you know, take it easy, because I know this is the time of season when players get worn down and get tired. And
yeah,
so
I wonder if the new ball isn't part of the problem, hitting people in the hands, you know, with the bat.
I don't know, but it could be that they don't have Macintosh computers. All right, everybody. Thank you very much for the email, guys. Please email the show at yakyujohn, that's yakyujohn@gmail.com, or go to our Facebook page and leave us a comment. Look for us on iTunes. We're there as well. You can download and subscribe and get all the episodes automatically downloaded on your mobile device. Thanks a lot, Michael. We appreciate you for pinch hitting.
Yep.
You did a great
and,
job.
And I'd also like to add that my article has appeared in this month's Baseball Magazine. I asked my son to review it, and he said there were a lot of difficult kanji.
Well, I'll put that. If you send me a link, I'll put that on the blog when we update tomorrow morning.
Okay.
All right,
also,
bud.
I plan on. I have the data for Goto's streak up on my blog, and I'm going to put my talking points up there soon after the game.
Okay.
Yeah.
Send me that link as well, and we'll link up there, too. Okay. Thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it. Good job. All right.
Take care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.